Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you are truly the great God. We also recognize that we are joining in worship with brothers and sisters who are displaced from their homes this morning. Brothers and sisters who have lost loved ones, whom are being persecuted by the government that you have established. Our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters in China, our brothers and sisters in Europe, our brothers and sisters in Africa and South America and around the world, Lord. And you are still a good God. You are still the God who is called the Lord who provides, the Lord who sees. Lord, you are enough. I pray that this morning we would grow in our sense of the richness of the blessings you have poured out on us, that even when if the worst should happen and the world crumble, Lord, the mountains be cast into the sea, you are still our hope, our rock, our sure foundation. Lord, may we have that peace this morning. May we truly see who you are. May our eyes be lifted off of our circumstances and on to our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. How are we this morning? Wow. Man. No, I always there's that person that always like starts off speaking and then says, "How are you? Oh, that was miserable. I can't hear you." And I automatically just distrust and despise that person for the rest of the time they're speaking. I'm not going to be that guy. But if that's how bad we're doing today, I hope that we do a little bit better by the end of everything today. Now, you might look at our situation around us and think about what we're talking about. Last week, I said something that's pretty significant. And I want to make sure that you understand that I'm doubling down on it. Because I said tithing is not required for Christians. It's not. We don't follow a set of rules and laws. We do follow the law of Christ. So while tithing is not required, generosity is, and generosity goes above and beyond tithing. And you might look at our situation and go, Pastor, you don't understand. My job is shaky right now. You don't understand. It has cost me twice as much to fill up my gas tank just to get to work. You don't understand. Our real estate situation is far worse than what it was. My stocks have gone down. You don't understand. Yes, I do. I travel. My tank costs about $70 to fill, and we fill it frequently. My stocks, too, have gone down. My job, too. If people don't give at a church, that's not why I'm preaching this series, by the way. God will provide. He always has. But I want you to understand that just because of what's going on with the pandemic, just what's going on with a world scene, we might think, oh, no, I can't be generous now. No, you don't understand. That's exactly the precise time it is most needed. You know what Christians in the Ukraine are doing right now? They don't even have homes. And you know what they're doing? We just sang songs that they are singing in Ukrainian in the tunnels where they are living. They're bringing hope. They're bringing encouragement. They are sharing whatever they have with each other. They are being the church. Whoever just said that, yeah, you are straight on where I'm going this morning. Yes. We are called to a life of generosity. In fact, John Maxwell, he's a well-known author and speaker. He was asked to write the foreword for a book entitled The Eternity Portfolio. The portfolio is the collection of your investments. The Eternity Portfolio is the name of this book, and he writes these stirring words. What would happen if we saw giving as a way of investing? If we gave our giving portfolio the same attention we give our retirement portfolio? What would happen if we stopped asking, how much do I have to give, and started asking, how much can I invest in eternity by giving? How would our lives change if we became aware of the rewards of faithfully investing our resources? He's He's talking about biblical stewardship, exactly what we are talking about in this series, All In. He went on to say that if we embrace this mindset and practice, it would change our lives and attitudes. I agree completely with what he says there. So anytime that we give, let's keep eternity in mind. When I'm talking about generosity, I'm not talking about generosity in our situations. Yes, because if you look at your situations, you might think, no, I need to hoard this to myself. You don't know. The economy might bottom out tomorrow. You know how much, what is it, Zimbabwe, millions and millions and millions of dollars won't even buy you a loaf of bread. So people, all that money that they hoarded, it's worth nothing. You never know. We give because we have been given so much. Investing in God's work is rewarding. We do it not only out of obedience, but because we want to be part of what God is doing in the world today, everywhere. The reason we give is because we recognize it's not ours to begin with, and we want to be part of what God is doing. So, we are in this series all in a call to biblical stewardship, and in this series, we have learned a lot. A couple of weeks ago, we learned that God owns, we own, so we are free to give anything, anything, anything and everything. Last week, we talked about tithing, and we realized that tithing is an act of faith, generosity, and worship. Today, we're going to learn that the life that is focused on eternity, the life that is all in, will overflow in generosity. It is going to practice over and above generosity. Like, if the minimum is here, if the standard for giving is here, it's going to go way beyond that. And here's the big idea for today. So for those of you type A personalities that absolutely have to have the outline, ding, 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 here's the first blanks to fill out on the outline, all right? The big idea is generosity is a lifestyle that gives freely and lives open-handedly. Generosity is a lifestyle that gives freely and lives open-handedly. See, many of us live our lives open-handedly in the way that, okay, God, I'm ready to receive that blessing. Come on, give it to me. But the problem is, if you have an open hand, not only is the blessing going to come to you freely, God also has freedom to spread it from your hand to someone else who needs it. You might be the blessing that God is pouring into somebody else's life. It lives freely and gives, or gives freely and lives open-handedly. When you don't give, it's like that child selfishly holding on to that toy. No, mine, mine, mine. All the time we have to remind our children that we love people, we use things. We don't use people and love things. Don't get that out of order, folks. What's more important, people or things? People. Is that reflected in your life? Is it? I certainly hope. Like we're saying, this belongs to me. None of this belongs to us. God is the owner of everything. We own nothing. You only give and live by what God has entrusted to you to manage for His glory. Always live with your hands open, willing to give. And remember, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. Here's the around this time of year, there's a phrase. Go ahead and finish it with me. Cold hands. All right, here, I'm going to modify it just a little bit. Open hands, warm heart. Closed hands, cold heart. Closed hands, cold heart. Open hands, warm heart. You want to know how the condition of your heart is? How generous have you been? You can say you love people. Are you showing it? While Paul was gathering an offering for God's people in Jerusalem, he writes a letter to the church in Corinth discussing this very concept that we're talking about this morning, this over and above. The church in Jerusalem, they were going through a particularly tough time. Persecution was coming against them left and right. They couldn't provide for themselves because they couldn't work. They weren't even allowed to glean from fields because dead men can't glean. So they were going through this difficult time, and Paul is encouraging the Corinthian believers to give, to assist the church in Jerusalem. And the church in Corinth had actually committed to sharing, and Paul hadn't seen it yet. So he writes this letter encouraging them to now set aside something for the believers in Jerusalem, above their normal gifts and offerings. So here's the question. Why should we practice over and above giving? Why should we give generously? It's one thing for a preacher to stand up in front of you and say, you should be doing this. But if I don't answer the why, I've just left you here with deistic therapeutic moralism. God says you should do it, so you should do it. By the way, yes, that is enough reason. He is worthy of obedience. But God doesn't just leave us with that. He gives us three whys here. In this chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we're going to be this morning. And the answer has very little to do with you. The answer for why you should share generously has very little to do with you. And it also has very little to do with the people with whom we are sharing. It has everything to do with God. It has everything to do with God. The first thing we're going to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is that God gives you his greatest gift, Jesus Christ. Look, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God eternal in human flesh. There's nothing more valuable. He created the universe. It was created through him. There is nothing more in the created universe that would be more valuable than him. So he has given you the greatest gift. If we look at 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 9, it says this. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly, get this, for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. What if we viewed the opportunity to give as a favorable thing? I get to give. Yes! Not I've got to give. I get to give. And he says this, and this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in all earnestness and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty, might become rich. Remember, we said God owns everything, and Jesus is God in the flesh. God the Son coming amongst us. He owns it all, and yet, Philippians tells us that he laid all that aside, made himself of no account. He drained his account for you. This is the gift that God has given to us. It teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the grace of God given to us. He is rich with the full glory of God in heaven, but he lowered himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He poured himself out completely, giving his all for us so that we could become rich by experiencing his grace and a personal relationship with him as our Savior and our Lord. There was a great hymn writer, you might have heard of him, Isaac Watts. He responded to the grace of God, this overwhelming gift of God in Jesus Christ, in writing a hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. In one of the verses, he says this, when I survey, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Man, one of the reasons I don't sing in choir is because songs are tearjerkers for me. And Dave, when you sang this morning, I flash back to the cassette tape my dad had and played in our station wagon with that song on it and the impression it left on my heart, "What If I Gave All?" I put God to the test. Here we are. I don't know if he's done much with it, but I'm trusting him because I don't regret it. He has always provided. Because he has given me Christ. If nothing else, he has given me Christ. That is worth giving up everything else up for. I have all that I need in Christ. Christian, so do you. There's nothing more we need. Sure, there are other things that we want. But I'm not sure the large screen TV and 50,000 subscriptions to online streaming programs and you know, that the newest Gucci outfit is exactly a need. God provides our needs. He has given to us Christ. We have been given more than we could ever give back. Eternity. And when we hold eternity on the scales between generosity and God's provision, you put eternity on God's provision side, that balance is tipped ever insurmountably in the way of generosity. Goodness, what could he ask that he hasn't already given to us anyway? When Israel, they had just been freed from Egypt, slavery for 400 years. And God says to them, look, I'm going to start this connection with you, this deep relationship with you that you couldn't have had in Egypt. And in order to do that, we're going to build this thing called the tabernacle. And he goes through Exodus, and it is like vivid detail, you know, down to the thread color of what everything is going to be made from. And he says, now bring that in, and we're going to build this tabernacle. And Moses thinks, okay, maybe we'll get enough. He actually has to stop Israel from giving because there is more, superabundantly more. Like, if they don't stop, they're going to be having it coming out their nostrils, too much stuff. What if that were the problem of most churches? Look, we don't know what to do with all that God has brought in. Look, there have been times that's happened. What if that were to happen in our generation? The churches would be, not just Grace, I'm talking Christianity as a whole, if we became over and above givers so that the world couldn't handle all the generosity we have. It'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? This letter that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians goes on to show us that our generosity, it's not just motivated by the fact that God gave us his greatest gift. That is the foundation. But if we're reflecting an over and above giving God, it goes over and above just that as well. Because God is the one who provides for you. God is the one who provides for you. If we dive back into 2 Corinthians, we're going to skip ahead to chapter 9, verse 6, where it says this, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Anybody that was here last week, that should be familiar. But we're going to go on, and it says, and God is able to make all grace. The word grace there is not just forgiving grace. That's usually what we think of it as. The word there is gift. It's the Greek word charis. It is a gift. He has made all gifts abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Are we getting the point? It's over and over again saying in just this short verse, all that you need is already yours. You are going to abound in this. God's not going to hold back. That's a lie straight from the deceptor himself, the deceiver, Satan, that God's going to hold back on you. He's not malicious. He is a benevolent God, a giver, a generous God. He is able and will make it abound so that you will be able to do all the good work he has called you to do. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Please understand this clearly. This is the law of the harvest, but greater it is the principle of generosity. What you sow, you will reap. Ask any farmer about the ratio of seed planted to harvest, and it's almost always directly proportional. Provided ideal circumstances, there's no drought or flood or anything like that to ruin it. You want a rich harvest? Sow richly. You want a really wimpy harvest? Sow wimpily. It's the law of generosity, the principle of generosity here. If we give sparingly, we, what you might call selfishly, we will receive sparingly. Think about Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, so many friends. But he had a lot of money. If we give generously, we will receive generously. See, living with open hands moves a loving God to bless you from his bountiful supply. He has no need. The amazing thing, it always blows my mind. God does not need me. Yet somehow he chooses to bless me when he uses me. I got nothing to say other than that's a good God. That's why Proverbs 11:25 can promise us, whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Another translation puts it this way, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Look, the richest life is not the one who has the most money, but the one who gives most freely. That's financial freedom, being able to share with those in need as much as possible. Because love is one of those things that the more you give away, the more you have. Generosity as well. The more you give away, the more you have. When you give freely, voluntarily, and generously, we are being like God who provides for us. And when your heart is right, your hands are open. We learn in these verses that a giving heart is cheerful. It gives with a great attitude and trusts God all the way. Remember that living generously means you are living with open hands, that you're giving freely. We rejoice when God gives us blessings, don't we? How many of you already have done your taxes? You're getting a good refund. You know God's bringing in a blessing. Oh, tax season already? Now, how many of you are going to owe the state? Yeah, okay. We rejoice when God brings us a blessing. Our child is born. There's a windfall. Our stocks are going up. We pay off our mortgage. We have friends. We were miraculously healed. We rejoice in that. We should also rejoice when God allows us to bless others. That should be something that we rejoice. An overabundance? You mean God has blessed me so much that there's something I can give to others? Praise God! We should rejoice at that. Because we cannot and will not ever outgive God. It's not possible. Whatever we shovel out, remember, God's shovel is bigger than ours. He multiplies the seed that he gave us originally. Anything we give, it comes from what God gave us in the first place. God owes no one. He gave it to you. So it tells us some pretty important things about God. God is able. He is able to supply all your needs. He is able to make all of this super abound to you that you will never know a lack for what he has called you to do. When he sees generosity, he moves. God is overflowing. See, when God sees generosity, his grace extends more towards you so that you can give generously. The most amazing thing I see is people that keep on giving their money away and somehow it just keeps coming back to them. And I'm not promising you're going to get rich. I'm saying you're going to see the blessings of God in your life, one way or the other, either in this life or in the life to come. Again, God meets your needs. When he sees generosity, he cares for you. That's why Psalm 112:5 promises this. It is well with a man who deals generously and lends, or good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Good comes from where? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of change. If it's good, it came from God. God gives to those who give. This is not a way to get wealthy. It is a way to show generosity, trusting in His provision. Why would we hold back? Why would we not give over and above the requirements? When we experience the gracious and giving nature of our God, why would we stifle that and try to hoard that to ourselves? We should not only want to give the first 10%, but over and above to extend the work of His kingdom globally. What would stop us? Why would we stop it at only 10%? Look, God promised Israel through Malachi that if they gave the 10%, He would open up the storehouses of heaven and pour out His blessings on them. How much more would it be for us to go over and above? How much more would we see God's blessing in our lives today? God's grace and His provision are always gracious and extravagant towards us. He meets your needs, plus some. Randy Alcorn writes this: tithing isn't the ceiling of giving, it's the floor. It's not the finish line of giving, it's just the starting blocks. Tithes can be the training wheels to launch us into the mindset, skills, and habits of grace giving. And grace giving is just over and above generosity being lived out by hearts that are open-handed to God. Whatever God you want, take it, Lord. It's yours. Remember when the pandemic started and we got a check from the government? Some of you cashed it, some of you didn't. But did anybody of us think that check might bounce? That stimmy check? Anybody? You think it would bounce? Let the record show, not a single hand was raised. Why? Why didn't we think, hey, maybe the government wouldn't be able to handle this? Because we know that God has given us one of the most solvent economies and strongest economies in the world. We knew that that would be provided. We knew that they wouldn't give unless they could back it up. We trust them. How is it we can trust our temporal government, flawed government, human government, and yet, at the same time, question God's ability to provide for us? Our government's only been around for a little over 200 years. The people that are there have been, well, at most, around for several decades, not even a century. God's been around since eternity past, and He hasn't failed yet. Who do you trust more? Why not give Him at least the same amount of trust that He's going to provide for you? How is it we can believe God created the heavens and the earth, yet we doubt His promises in giving? He says, I am going to meet your need. See, how we treat all that God has given to us says a lot about our view of Him. It is motivated by the fact that He gave us His Son, that He is the God who provides, and He is the one who is reflected in our generosity. If we look back again at 2 Corinthians 9, picking up in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will provide or will produce thanksgiving to God. What's the focus here? What's He motivating towards? Providing thanksgiving to God. Motivating that. Then He goes on to say, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. See, the generosity of God is reflected in the generosity of God's people. So many times people ask, where was God in my moment of need? The answer to that question is, where was God's people? Where were God's people in the moment of need? You realize that that's part of the reason we have a church body? That in the moment of need, you can come to us and say, I have a need. And the family comes together and meets that need. I had a conversation with my older sister and parents yesterday about, it's not a financial need, so don't think that we're financial. God has always provided. Just something that's on our radar, something that we're like, you know what? We just need a little family support. And you know what happened? The family was there to support. If we do that with our biological family, why would we not do that with our eternal spiritual family? Folks, that's why we are here together, to glorify God and to show the world how generous He is. Imagine with me. You go to the grocery store. Guys, I know that's a foreign land to some of you. It's the place where the yummy stuff is, okay? We go into the grocery store, and there are parents with a child. And the child is just begging, can I have this? No. Can I have this? No. Can I have this? No. And the child is sneaking food and stuffing it in their face, and you can tell they are emaciated. You can see their ribs. Their clothes are just hanging off them. What kind of a parent would that be that allows their child to starve? Mandated reporters, you best be making a phone call. Because that is not a good parent. Unless the child has some sort of a disease. If the parent is willfully allowing their child to starve, that is not a good parent. But what if you walk into the same store, see the same set of parents, but there's another child, and this child is just given away freely. Hey, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. That child is not holding back. And you ask him, how can you give this all away? Oh, mommy and daddy gave it to me, and I just want to give it away. We recognize that it all came from our Father when we are giving away to those who need it more. It reflects on Him. Our generosity reflects the generosity of our Father. Are we being honest with others in the way we treat our money? Are we giving them every opportunity to praise God, to see His glory, to witness His surpassing grace on us? That's why Jesus calls us to give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, don't demand them back. Our first thing we do is, well, ownership is 9/10 of the law. Yeah, but what about the law of Christ? I own it, so I am free to give it to you. Take it with my blessing. Take it with my blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. This goes both ways. You are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses you so that those blessings could be poured out on others, so that you could bless others with what He has blessed you with. On top of that, you are blessed to be a blessing. It is a blessing itself that you bless others. So God continues to bless you as you bless others. You get the blessing both ways. You give because you've been given, and then you are given more. To whom much is given, much is required, and when you are faithful with a little, He will put you over much. It's the law of stewardship, the law of taking care of what God has given to us. The extra God has given you is meant for someone else. I'm going to step on some toes. It's okay, mine are already broken. I want you to understand that anytime I step on your toes here, my feet have been broken up all week. Where in the Bible does it say you should retire at 65? Some of you haven't. Praise God. Where in the Bible does it say you should have a healthy nest egg? It says provide for your own. Absolutely. Make good provision. I'm not talking about squandering your money. Where in the Bible does it say that your investment is the most important one? The most important financial investment. That we should live comfortably. You know, some of the wealthiest people in the world, you would never know. They drive a Toyota Camry. They live in a house that might have cost a little over 100 grand, maybe two. Not anything fancy. And they got buku bucks. You know what they're doing with it? They're giving it away. They're investing it. And by the time they leave, like, their children are completely shocked when they receive their inheritance of millions of dollars, and they realize that that isn't even all that they had. Most of it had been given away to charity. Here's the reality of it. my favorite Christmas movie, and yes, I'm still on this kick, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, for $8,000, was going to be going to jail. Then all of a sudden, he realized how wealthy he is. At the end of his story with Clarence, his guardian angel, we can talk theology during Boost, okay? Bad theology, but the message is true. That when we have invested our lives, our resources, and I'm not just talking money, your time, your comfort, your home, all of it, every bit of your life is a resource blessed by God to you so that you can bless others. And when we do that, that can change the world. What if we all viewed our resources that way? What if we all viewed this, God, where did I put it this morning? God, everything that's in here, every bit of these, it's yours to do with as you see fit. Sorry, I don't carry cash. I was impressed you had that for the song, Dave. I'm a millennial. Cash? Cassette? What is that? 8-track? That's something. What if we looked at this and said, look, this is my name on the card, but this is not my account. Every penny that goes in here has God's name written all over it. Really, it does. It doesn't say in Aaron we trust, or in John we trust, or in Jane we trust. It says in God we trust. Who made gold? God. So whose is it? God's. And that's all our money ever represents. What if we gave it all to him? See, the only proper response, once we see all that we've been given in Christ, which, by the way, I'm really excited for the next series we're going to go through that's going to dig into the gospel of what we have been given in Christ. Once we see that, once we are gripped with the greatness of the gift of God, the only proper response is how Paul ends this passage. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. You know what you do for something that's inexpressible? It can't come out with words. It's got to come out with actions. I had a conversation with several people recently, and they have, I'm not sure why. Don't apologize for crying, especially when we're talking about things that are close to your heart. Like, number one, that's where I want to get. Surface is one thing. I want to get to the heart, and once we get close to the heart, it's not going to be expressible by words. It's going to come out through tears. See, tears are the words our heart can't express. When we have a heart that is overwhelmed by the greatness of God, it comes out sometimes in tears, but frequently in generosity. It must be shown in our generosity. Otherwise, we don't recognize all the riches that are already ours. That is the life that is all in. Generosity is a choice that you make each day. Will you live with a godly heart and with open hands? Will you this day choose to reflect the glorious generosity of your Father? Will you trust in His provision for your life? Will you live in the richness of His blessings in Christ? Today we do have an opportunity. Before we close with our final hymn and benediction, in your bulletin, there's a little form like this, two of them. This one is going home with you. This one, we're going to need ushers with plates. And I want you to prayerfully consider something. God has given to us the resource of this building. And it's not just a building. This is not just a building. That's an edifice where people get together. This is a facility. It facilitates all sorts of ministries. We have a homeschool group that meets here. That is facilitated here. We have Awana, we have prayer meeting, we have people having big chapters of their lives, weddings, funerals, birthday parties, celebrations and times of mourning, ministry. We are meeting needs with this building God has entrusted to us, and part of that is our mortgage. We also have something called a budget. Today is our annual business meeting. If you are not excited about the annual business meeting, let me make it like really challenge you. Because you think, okay, it's not a spiritual thing. It is a church thing. It is a spiritual thing. It is important for you to be here, members. Every single one of you. It is so vital. Because we do have this thing called a budget. I'm not doing this series because the budget is tight. It is, but I had scheduled to preach this long before our annual budget had shown up. Spring of last year, I was planning to preach this. So this was all God. Anytime there's the building fund, anytime the building fund is not met by $4,000, every month we pay the mortgage, $4,000. And every month it's shy. And that comes from our general fund, slowly draining our savings. Look, this is where I'm going to get real personal, Grace. God has given you to be a blessing. Are you willing to commit? Are you willing to commit? Because if we have today just $2,000 promised to the building fund, we will be set for the year. As far as our needs, that's the gap. Almost every month it's around $2,000. I think we can do more than that. I think we could do six. I think this morning we could do six. Because I am convinced that God not only is preparing us for something huge, I think getting out of mortgage is one of the best ways that we can be good stewards of the money he's given to us. Amen? Now, some of you think this verse exists in the Bible. Neither a debtor nor a lender be. Billy Shakespeare did not write the Bible. But we are told that the lender is a slave, or the borrower is the slave of the debtor, the lender. And we are told to love, or to owe nobody anything but to love one another. Folks, I think this is part of what God is calling to us to do as spiritual stewards of what he has given to us. Prayerfully consider, as the music plays, just prayerfully consider. And then at the end, ushers, I want you to come forward. And as we sing our closing hymn, pass the plates. Pray with me. God, would you lay on our hearts what you would have us to give? We don't want to be found sitting on a stockpile of all that you have given to us that was meant to be poured out for your glory. Lord, we want our lives lived out for you. Lord, you own it all. You own our bank accounts, our homes, our bodies, our lives, our souls. Lord, would you convict us? We lay our lives on the line for you to use as you see fit. How can we hold this back? Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. Thank you for the blessing of this facility. Thank you for all that you have allowed us to do as a church, as a family. Lord, we need your provision for that. I don't mean to ask for further blessing. Lord, you have blessed us over and above. Lord, we need the blessing of knowing how to use what you have given to us. Work that in our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name. This is not taken from your 10%. This is over and above. And maybe you need to take it home and think about it and pray about it and put it in the budget. Look at what God's given you. I understand that. But don't walk away today and never consider this. God has given to you to be a blessing to others. As we take this commitment seriously, that God has given to us something that we use for His glory, don't walk away from this thinking, oh, it's going to be uncomfortable. Trust me. It might be uncomfortable at first, but seeing His blessing poured out, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. And maybe for you, you're like, these numbers aren't big enough. There's a reason there's an other box in there. Or maybe you said, I've already made this commitment before. Put that number in there. That helps us be able to know what God is doing so that we can give Him praise. Remember, it's supposed to result in glorifying Him. So as the ushers pass the plates now, prayerfully consider what God is calling you to give. You'll notice those forms were anonymous. We want glory to go to God from it all. And maybe for you, you're the person in need. I often find encouragement in a passage that we skipped over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 12. It says this, "For the readiness is there. If the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." Look, it's a beautiful thing when we work together and meet each other's needs. That's why God has brought us together, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As you go, where is God calling you to go above and beyond, over and above giving, being generous with what He has been generous with you? May you go in peace.